We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Mully and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Well, we got breaking news, buddy.
Yes, we do.
And I don't know if it's breaking news, it's overnight news, but Ian Rappaport of the NFL Zone Network, Ian Rappaport of the NFL reports that the Bears have made their move and they're going to sign the former Jaguars wide receiver Allen Robinson to a 3-year, $42 million deal. I knew you were going to find a way to get that back in.
Didn't take long.
Yeah, well, okay. That's we got to suspend that immediately. We can't that play that every that time was, we mention
that
him.
That was your freebie. That was your yeah. That,
you got one, and that's it.
Yeah, there you go. Let the record show.
Yeah, well, he does a little romantic transportation every time he hears that. So, because he's in love with Duval, was in love with Duval. Now he just uses it as a sort of echo. It's the echo into the romantic chamber in his mind.
Wow. That's pillow talk. He can keep it. So there you go. Some of the money spent, the obvious thing to do, they got it done early. And Bigsy confirmed it too. He was up at the wee hours. I see he posted a story about 2:15 this morning. So, yeah, Ryan Pace...
he'll be up in the wee hours again. He'll be joining us at 7.
don't go to sleep, Brad. No.
Well, it's great. I mean, it's really a position that you have to deal with, that you have to fill, and the guy wouldn't have been available had he not had the knee. And of course, again, all signings are conditioned on passing the physical. So. You got a young man that has played some pretty good football in the NFL, pretty good football in college, made a Pro Bowl in 2015, and he's a playmaker. He scores touchdowns, right? He's had 22, and he is 24 years old. And you get him to a nice contract there. You pay him, and you throw money at a problem. 3 years, $42 million seems reasonable. He's immediately your number one receiver. He is a number one receiver when healthy, obviously coming off a knee. And there you go. That that was top priority. Get it done. And they did it.
Yeah, so big target. What is he, 6'4"?
I think he's 6'3". I'll have to look that up, but I thought he was 6'3".
But either way, like you said, number one receiver far and away.
That's
not even
certainly
close.
Within the line of what you're looking for.
Yeah. Maybe Sammy Watkins.
6'3", 211 pounds is what he's listed.
Maybe Sammy Watkins is a little faster, but this guy probably can do a few more things for you. And
the guy scores touchdowns. Yeah. I mean, that's what you have to do. You got to get players that can score touchdowns. He missed all but one game last season after tearing his ACL in the season opener. And nonetheless has had a good career. So you're getting a guy. It's like, I guess... the equivalent of ACLs these days, it's a year, it's a full year injury. So you'll see how far advanced he is. Other guys have come back earlier from it, but it's kind of, is it fair to say that signing a receiver with an ACL is like signing a pitcher off Tommy John surgery?
Yeah, football version of Tommy John.
The knee's damaged, and that's not a good thing.
Trying to remember how many guys have gone back and had a second tear.
There's been a lot of guys. There's been tons of guys. I mean, just go look at all the quarterbacks in Minnesota. I think they do that on a regular basis. So, listen, it's – you're rolling the dice. The reason the guy is available is because he's coming off a knee injury. If he wasn't coming off a knee injury, they would have – figure out a way to keep him, tag him, advance, whatever. But he was coming off a knee injury, and they had other priorities, and he became available, and the Bears were obviously highly motivated. It's the number one need, and they address it quickly. So that's great. It's good to see. It's good to see the Bears be proactive. And listen, I mean, whether you've there's just so many things that you can that you can point to and wonder about. You know, they got a quarterback, they got an offensive minded head coach. Now they got a receiver.
Yeah, and okay? you don't have enough draft picks to address all the needs. You have to hit in free agency, and even though some people say it's nothing more than a glorified garage sale, there are value signings. There are prize players or players.
Not around here.
No, not usually. But this is the obvious, right? I mean, you did the obvious, and we'll see how it turns out. And has meant, how important is it for the Bears medical people to come into play now and look at this thing? Because as Bigsy reports, he'll be ready for camp, but he won't be ready for a lot of the off-season stuff, right? And he's still rehabbing the ACL. So they're going to have to be good, and the medical, the doctor is going to have to be good looking at everything and signing off and saying good to go.
The, the Broncos have signed Case Keenum. That's interesting. Mm-hmm. Cardinals are reportedly set to offer Kirk Cousins a deal that would pay him five-year, $140 million deal to go to Arizona.
So if you're up in Minnesota.
5 years, $140 million. If you're up in Minnesota.
What, now Teddy Bridgewater, you're back to Teddy Bridgewater?
Well, I mean, maybe Drew Brees.
Yeah.
Maybe you're doing a year of Drew Brees. Maybe, we got a Super Bowl-ready defense. We got the running back coming back. Come here and win a Super Bowl on your way out.
And by the way,
we'll give you the respect that they wouldn't give you down in New Orleans.
Miami's going to release Ndamukong Suh.
Yeah.
Think about that.
Yeah, well, that's, you get paid like a quarterback. You got to be a dominant franchise-altering player.
And he's played every game in the last in his 3 years in Miami, but the numbers have been going the wrong way, and he hasn't exactly been the guy commanding double team so everyone else can go ahead and go to work. Do the Bears take a look at that? Is there any reason to be talking in Ndamukong Suh?
I don't think their primary need is there.
Mm-hmm.
Do you? I mean, I think they need a pass rusher. I think Suh is a great dominant inside player, but the amount of money you'd have to pay him.
Do you still have to pay him that kind of money?
You got to pay him a lot of money, Brian.
Yeah.
You know why?
Because he was averaging $17 million a year.
There are a lot of teams that need that position.
Hmm.
Now, the Bears have a couple of guys. I mean, would you be better with him? Yeah.
Yeah.
But, I mean, if you're going to invest that kind of money,
and plus,
it doesn't make sense.
The, apparently, in the locker room, he's not exactly, there might not be an eye in team, but there's an Ndamukong in team a lot of times. So.
Yeah, he's a big, strong man, and he'll pick you up and throw you. And apparently that covers everything. The Bulls host the Clippers tonight. Yeah. The Blackhawks are off until Thursday, and they will then play at Winnipeg. So you like that?
How many more games left in the
I don't know. We're just tearing off dates now and just trying to get to the end of it. Aren't we? And are we doing that? The Cubs had a day off. Jose Quintana he did throw 63 pitches in a 5-inning simulated game, and said afterwards that it's going to be his year. Basically, this is his year.
He didn't go Mike Lennon on you, did he?
No, but he.
I have more faith if Jose Quintana tells me it's his year than Mike Lennon telling me it's his year.
And Jake said goodbye. No, that's not what he said.
No, that was Jose right there.
That was Jose right there.
He sounds like Mike Lennon. I don't understand it, but
for some reason he screamed.
It read like he said that.
It read to you like he said that.
Yeah.
Okay.
I was the reader. Yes.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
It wasn't anybody else.
Well, you
think about this.
You're the one who makes him Mike Lennon.
Jose Quintana.
You don't like him because he has sock stink on him.
Jose Quintana would have to pitch like 10 years to make 1 year of Mike Lennon salary, right?
Dylan Cease hit 98 last night.
Oh, here we go.
The White Sox, 4-2 winners over the Mariners, and they had three scoreless innings for Dylan Cease, and he allowed a hit and walked one, struck out four.
ERA of 0.98
on the radar gun.
Yeah.
The throw-in
for the Quintana deal.
Adam Engel, two home runs.
What is going on with that guy?
Was it Shane Reardon that I saw on Twitter that tweeted, you know, it's going to be hard for Bryce Harper to come and Dingle already playing there.
This is the same guy who hit 166 last year, right?
He knew he had to hit.
Wow. Jason Hayward should do whatever he's done in the offseason.
And NBC Sports Chicago will broadcast 17, count them, 17 AAA games this season, Aloy Vision.
The Cubs are trying to get their own network. Aloy has his own already. 17 games of Aloy.
Tiger Woods is the favorite at Bay Hill this week, and his odds at the Masters, he's now the third favorite at the Masters. How about that? That's what one tournament does when you're Tiger Woods.
You're one putt away from...
That's it.
From...
Yeah. Did he hit it?
No.
Okay. Mully and Hanley, we got the 5 and 5 next. Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 to the Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
What is your reaction to the Bears signing Allen Robinson?
That's a good start. I mean, you know, they got a guy that can be a number one receiver. They got a guy that's made a Pro Bowl. They got a guy that is coming off an injury, but is that's so is everyone else on the Bears roster that they're looking at a wide receiver. So join the crew. You know, he's a good enough player that Jimmy's famous seafood in Baltimore offered him crab cakes for life. Were he to sign there, I'd have to consider that because you got to think about your career after football, and it's a place to go, and you could sit there and just kill some crab cakes for a living.
Is that once a week? How often can you eat crab cakes?
I think I could eat crab cakes 3 times a week.
I love crab cakes.
I love crab cakes.
Just three?
I'm thinking
4 or 5.
Well, I think for life.
Yeah.
You kidding me?
You know what? Kevin would eat there every day. Is what I just
sure.
heard.
Yeah, right.
But I'm thinking like crab cake. You know, eggs. Benedict kind of crab cake, right? That's really good.
Oh, instead of the Canadian bacon, you throw some fresh crab meat on there.
Yeah.
You might if someone offered McNuggets for life, he'd be...
Honestly, any kind of free food.
Yeah.
Anything for life.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, man.
It doesn't even have to be for life.
Got
to
think about your future. Except
crab cakes for a weekend.
The one thing you
want to
hear is prison for life.
You should devour those Subway wraps yesterday.
Oh, boy.
Oh, no. Did you really?
Yeah. I had like 2.5 of them, actually.
Oh, my goodness.
Here you go.
Were we not walking by there
and
there was a comment made about that?
Yeah.
Holy cow.
We talked about how we all love Subway so much.
You doubled back and ate home. Yeah. That's good.
Because they're a great sponsor at the station.
Oh, they're fantastic.
And we love them.
I love Subway. I have my own order, though, when I go there.
Not the menu? You go off the menu?
I go off the menu a little bit.
And animal style?
They customize it?
I don't want to get into it because I don't want anybody eating all the pepperoni before I get there.
were you really a... sandwich artist?
Yeah, I used to work at a Subway. I was an artist.
Sandwich artist?
At Addison and Sheffield. So it got a little packed over on Cubby Game Day.
Wow. Yeah.
Although it was before they were any good, so not as big of a crowd.
You didn't...
Oh, they always won the Attendance World Series, didn't they? Who you
That's what they say. Listen, I hear from this guy every day.
Being a Sox fan, you didn't slip anything in the sandwiches for those Cub fans, did you?
No.
As far as they knew.
I'm an artist, Brian. I have integrity.
Yeah. They wouldn't allow that either at Subway. The guy's a playmaker, and he tore his ACL in his left knee last year, and that's a concern, and you want to make sure he's healthy. They've got, as we said, a lot of guys coming back from injuries. You know, this is a guy 25 years old in August who's entering his prime as a player. We're going to see presumably the best that Allen Robinson has to offer. The Bears desperately needed to make a move. I understand people worry about the injury, but you wouldn't have a shot at a guy like this without the injury.
No doubt about it. Again, it was the obvious. Sometimes keep it simple, stupid. Don't try to outthink it. Don't try to do something out of the box when you have nothing but money. You have certainly have the need. And this is the guy who put up those numbers with Blake Bortles. God bless him. Got him to the playoffs. I got it. But you hope Mitch Trubisky has to be better than Blake Bortles, or it doesn't matter who he's targeting, right? If you're going to get to the promised land, you believe you have a quarterback whose ceiling is well above what you're going to have with Blake Bortles. So when you get 80 passes, 1,400 yards, 14 touchdowns with Blake Bortles throwing you the ball, you should be very encouraged that the future, again, 25 in August, this, you know, put together a young core here. Don't, you know, just not, the Bulls shouldn't be limited to the young core in town. So don't be going to get the ghost of fill in your wide receiver name here at 29, 30, 31, 32.
You want him to double down?
Yeah.
Go after Sammy Watkins,
yes,
too?
Yes, I do.
Yep.
I do.
Sure.
Very happy with this signing. Last week we talked about the number one target in free agency. Most of us were saying, yes, go get Allen Robinson. This is a guy. We know what the ceiling is. The ceiling is he can be as good as any receiver, at least in that class of the ones in the league, if he's healthy. Of course, if he's healthy. We're going to say that a million times before the season gets going. Playmaker. They need playmakers. You finally have a deep threat. And what do you know? What do you know? They replaced Alshon Jeffrey. It just took a year. So very happy with the signing of Allen Robinson.
Yeah, I understand one of the points of this segment is that we're supposed to have differing opinions and maybe clash a little bit. But I absolutely love this signing, like I'm sure everybody else does. There's really not much to not like. It frees you up in the draft to go up now wherever they end up picking, whether it's eight or they trade down, whatever that happens there. You don't have to go and get one of these top receivers that are coming out, you know, Calvin Ridley or somebody of that ilk, who might be a reach at that point in the draft. It's just money. There's no way he'll be as bad as anybody who was catching footballs for the Bears last year. He could tear his ACL again. He'll still put up better numbers than Marcus Wheaton. I'll guarantee you that. So this is a fantastic site. Former second round pick. I mean, this is fantastic. Well, you know, it's a great start.
Here's the other thing. Ryan Pace didn't manufacture a player here. He didn't have to sell you on Mike Glennon. He didn't have to use his, you know, that he saw something that no one else was seeing. Everyone sees when this guy's healthy what he is. So you should have faith in it.
It's all about health. Mully, you make an excellent point. If not for poor health, then he wouldn't even be an option, right? So you have to feel fortunate from that standpoint. Also, I think Kevin makes a good point. Now, this does not make them have to go out and overdraft a wide receiver, maybe even in the second round, right? They don't have to overdraft a wide receiver. And Brian, I'm with you too. Like, don't stop now, boys, right? Like, listen, at least don't have a conversation with Sammy Watkins. Hey, Sammy, you want to be part of something special here? You want to be the guy? You want a Batman and Robin type of thing? Why not? I mean, I don't think you should just shut the door on it. Why not? And as Joe mentioned, everybody made great points in this. He was the best guy on paper. He was the best guy available for the position the Bears needed the most.
And,
right? So he went and got him.
Guys, you know, the Niners are looking at him. We mentioned the Ravens. You know, Carolina was on him.
The
Packers were interested. I'm just saying, you moved quickly and you got him.
And he picked,
overall,
right? and he picked the Bears, you know, right? Yes. That's been an issue. Like, will free agents want to come here? Well, a number one free agent wanted to come here. So that's done.
He beat John Lynch on something?
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
With the addition of Allen Robinson, should Ryan Pace be done adding free agent wide receivers? And should they draft one?
No, he should not be done. And God bless, you know, Cam Meredith is back with they tagged him and Josh Bellamy.
Yeah, there were people mad that they gave him the lower tender.
It's fine. I mean, they're fine. They're guys. You have knee depth at that position. But didn't Brett Veach tell us that Albert Wilson's on the way, right? So a different type
of
receiver?
He's in Miami right now.
Yeah.
So, he's a slot guy, but he's with the Dolphins,
right?
And he's
so a different type of receiver,
Jarvis Landry replacement.
Right. But I mean, you could use him here too, right?
Well, the point is, I think his market ended up being bigger than people thought, and he's down there, and maybe they don't let him leave.
But you still have a lot of money here with the Bears. You still have plenty of money to right. Look, you know, Sammy Watkins would be great if they want to commit another $17 million per year to Sammy Watkins. It might his price tag might go to $18, $19, $20 million by the time it's all said and done. You have any if Jordy Nelson's being released by the Packers, again, I just said you don't want the ghost to fill in the name here, and I'm just about to say,
that way.
Is Jordy Nelson got a year or two left in him just to see, you know, is he worth a look down here?
I think Jordy Nelson, he was a speed guy, and he's lost his speed.
Yeah.
So I think that you would have to have more information. I mean, obviously, if you can get him for less money, but the problem is that what he did best, he didn't do best right. last year, yeah, coming off the injury.
Now, in drafting, I thought Calvin Ridley at 8 was not the smartest of moves, maybe down 15 to 20 if he's there. You know, God bless. But now you don't have to do that. You don't have to reach on a wide receiver. It doesn't mean you don't draft one in the second, third, fourth rounds. You don't do it in the first round. You don't do it with the 8th overall pick.
Yeah, I'm with you, Brian. It'd be nice to continue on and keep getting players, and it'd be great if Kevin White had anything in the tank. It'd be great if Cam Meredith turned out to be a decent receiver, and they gave him the tag that lower tender offer because why not? It's $1 million difference in the tenders. So it's because he was an undrafted free agent, the tender offer is like 1.9. It would have been 2.9 if you put the other tender on him. Are you not showing him respect? I mean, you're bringing him back. He was hurt, and his was a what do they call it? ACL plus. I think the MCL was involved too, so it wasn't just the ACL. ACL plus.
That sounds like
it sounds positive.
Yeah, exactly.
But it means it's like worse than you think.
Sounds like you're getting a bonus.
Yeah, I'm getting an ACL plus. Oh, yeah. Fantastic! You'll be out even longer. No. So hopefully he's healthy. He's a good guy, and hopefully Kevin White comes back. But you can't operate like that. You got to go out and you got to solve this position, and you got a young quarterback. You want him to play, and you need to give him weapons. And, Joe, you said the magic word, playmaker. And I just – you said that, and I was reiterating in my head, playmaker, playmaker. They have to have playmakers. So don't stop now, boys. Go ahead and keep adding playmaker after playmaker after playmaker. And when you think you're done, go ahead and draft one too. Just keep getting playmakers, and that's how you become an offensive-minded team.
Need more, should add another receiver in free agency. Yes, you should draft one. I still say even after Allen Robinson, you need two more guys. Just look
Marcus at Marcus Wheaton?
No. Look at your
He had a catch?
Who is that? Who's this Wheaton character?
He had one catch, right? Or
did he have
two
catches?
He matched Tony Medlin.
So Allen Robinson had one catch, and he missed almost the entire year.
Wow. But, yeah, we're happy about Allen Robinson, but we know about the injury. And then you have Kevin White. Are you relying on him at all? Cam Meredith coming off his injury. Are you going to bring Kendall Wright back? Are you going to bring Dontrell Inman back? No, they still need to add it.
Josh Bellamy got a tender offer.
Of course he did. Yeah. I'm sure he was number one after he was ahead of Allen Robinson on their list of guys they want to take care of. But it was interesting, like, we all assumed, look what the Chiefs GM said. Albert Wilson's coming to the Bears, and there's a report that he's the front runner to replace Jarvis Landry down in Miami. They definitely need to add more. And now we don't have to hear about the Bears drafting a receiver in the first round.
No.
You can find guys. Stephon Diggs, a few years ago, he's a fifth-round pick. Last year, Cooper Kupp as a rookie, third-round pick. He was great for the Rams. So, yes, you should draft one, too.
Yeah, don't stop now, boys, as Dustin said previously. I don't know if I like the idea of Sammy Watkins. I think I like him as a player, but I don't know if you want to tie up that much money into two guys.
How old is Sammy Watkins?
At the wide receiver position. He's 25. So
he's 24. I think he hasn't even turned 25. I mean, I'm just saying he's the same age as this guy.
He'll be 25.
No, you're talking about two guys in their
growing
prime.
Together. Yeah.
I don't know.
No, I mean, it's good in theory.
But you're right, it's a lot of money, but what do they have but money?
That's a good point, because it's not like you're giving up assets. You're just, they talk about all the cap space they have, how they're willing to go out and spend it. I wouldn't be completely appalled if they went out and did it. I would appreciate the forward thinking in trying to build up the wide receiver core. They already have good running backs. Hopefully they shore up the offensive line. It's all based around what they want to do with Mitch Trubisky. That's what everything is about here, and that makes a lot of sense. So I think whether it's drafting a guy, like you guys said, third, fourth, fifth round, you could find good wide receivers there. If you want to go with a veteran, maybe somebody on the cheap, Eric Decker, John Brown, I don't know, there's going to be guys out there that could possibly be on a one-year prove-it contract. I do think you have to get somebody else at wide receiver. I just don't know if Sammy Watkins is prudent at that point.
Prudent.
You want to spell it for me next? I mean, why not?
Good.
I mean,
P-R-U-dent.
Yes, he's prudent. Yes. You guys just talked about the bar is so low around here for wide receivers, right? I mean, so unbelievably low. And Mully, that's a great point. These two guys could be a combo for a long time, right? Together, they got nothing but money. Where else do you want them to spend the money?
I mean, you could go to Subway and get that wide receiver combo.
Who's the pass rusher you want them to spend the money on? Who is it? Anyone? Bueller?
Anyone? They're going to have to draft one.
You have to draft one, right? Exactly.
And they might even have to draft one and create one, right?
Yeah.
Talking about the linebacker and figure out a way to make it work.
So I think that now is becoming the most obvious thing to do there at number eight is the pass rusher. I'm just afraid they're going to get another track athlete to match up with the other track athlete. But that's another question for another day.
What is the bigger story for the White Sox? Nicky Delmonico not separating his shoulder, or Dylan Cease continuing to look sharp while hitting 98 miles per hour on his fastball last night?
Well, I think it depends on what side of town you're on, right? If you're an actual Sox fan, then Delmonico being available is a big deal because he's starting this year. If you're a Cub fan, then Dylan Cease, throw him in the Aloy category and put more pressure on Q to live up to that contract. I'm a Sox fan, and I really think that I, as much as I love Dylan Cease continuing to look sharp, I think that Nicky Delmonico not being injured is a great story. And you know, Tyler Saladino is not in concussion protocol either. So both guys got out of that one, which is a relief, frankly, because the White Sox don't need injuries. They need everybody on board. So I'm pleased that Nicky Delmonico, who's had injuries in the past, and apparently that's why he was so concerned about his shoulder, took a bad fall and he was like, oh no, there goes my shoulder. And it's not a slight separation. He's okay.
Yeah. He's going to be back tomorrow.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's great news. And, it's good news for the White Sox because, you know, maybe not everyone is a Nicky Delmonico fan, but I think he's a good young player, and you need guys like that. As much as we talk about the rebuild and who's coming up and who you went and got and who's going to be the next, this is a guy that played well at the end of last year. You're going to need guys that are sort of, I don't know if you call them like unexpected sort of prospects. I think Nicky had a good career trajectory before running into some issues, and then coming to the White Sox, and he seems back on track, and that's a nice thing to see. And you need guys like that. You need to hit on some guys like that. And that's part of what a rebuild is. So I'm pumped up that Nicky Delmonico's okay.
Yeah, I'm glad he's okay. I'm glad he's back at it. But pitching, premium on pitching. The throw-in on the Jose Quintana trade is now not only showing you everyone knew he had the 95 to 100-mile fastball in his arsenal. Now he's got a big curveball that, you know, he had a 3-0 count on D. Gordon and came back and struck him out. If this guy, I don't even know, you know, what the target date is. I don't even know if they expected to have a target date with Dylan Cease, but they got him in the deal.
But he wasn't a throw-in. I think that was a big deal. Aloy was obviously the centerpiece.
But
that was the Cubs' number one pitching prospect. That's the point. I think that's why it was a deal they made.
And, you know, the idea that if you have Kopech and Giolito and all these guys, and now you put Dylan Cease in the mix as a guy who's going to be a bona fide, that's scary to think of what that Sox pitching staff, and scary for Cubs fan to have to, again, watch it from close proximity.
What the worry is that you had the Mets with that group, right? They had this unbeatable group, and what happened? They had a year, and then they were gone.
The bigger story is Dylan Cease. The White Sox are looking at a 65-70 win season, most likely. Good for Delmonico. You want to give him an opportunity to play every day. You want to see exactly what you have before the other outfielders come up. But the big story is you're rebuilding. You have one of the top farm systems in baseball. Can't argue that. And Dylan Cease is a top five prospect for you. So everything going on with Dylan Cease is the bigger story compared to Delmonico.
Dylan Cease is one of the more exciting prospects, I think, within the entire organization. I would put him just right behind Michael Kopech in terms of ability and potential. They could both run it up there, triple digits, both have the good breaking ball to complement it. Personally, I love seeing Brian Squirm every time Eloy Jimenez and Dylan Cease are mentioned. Gives me a lot of pleasure. So I hope you enjoy Jose Quintana. It's his year. And I think Dylan Cease is the bigger story here. And I like Nicky Delmonico. Molly, you bring up a good point. Not everybody that's contributing and will contribute in the future is going to be a first-round pick or a second-round pick, pedigree, can't-miss guy. You have to find other guys, you know, whether they're coming from other organizations, whether they're scrap heap guys, whether you make a good trade, you get a little sly in that direction. So I like Nicky Delmonico. I think he could be a player. Going to be interesting to see how he develops in his first full season this year. But I think long-term, it's got to be Dylan Cease.
Yeah, it's Dylan Cease without a question. I get this year, like right now, I understand that Delmonico is expected to be a big part of the 2018 Chicago White Sox. But, I mean, when the Sox are expected in the next 2 to 3 years to actually be really relevant is in the whole baseball world, not just here in Chicago, I think Dylan Cease is probably going to be at the back end of that rotation and be a big part of it. Not Carson Fulmer.
He's had some arm issues, so there's a possibility
he projects as a bullpen guy.
But, I mean, you know, it's interesting for the Sox because, Kevin, I think you're onto something. You know, we talk about Dane Dunning, Alec Hanson, Dylan Cease. These are the guys that next, you know, sort of the outside, the top.
Yeah.
You know, we only talk about Kopech and Giolito and now, you know, Ronaldo Lopez. If those guys actually you hit on some of those guys – now you got something.
Yeah,
special.
It's about having a pipeline. It's not just, you know, here comes the first group of expected prospects. Who's behind them? Oh, look, you know, there's some guys that you can count on.
And don't you feel, from a Cubs perspective, that not only have they put that team together, but they got a couple pieces like this? Like, isn't there an element of if they did it once, they can do it again? Not only did they do it once, but they got a guy in with the Yankees. They got these guys here. I mean, they know what the hell they're doing.
Yeah.
Right.
That's right.
That's a great question. MLB.com has Chris Bryant and Yoan Moncada on its list of each team's most indispensable players. Did they get it right?
You know, it's interesting. Bryant would be the obvious answer, especially when he tells you what he doesn't think he needs a bounce back year. But if he does have an MVP type year, he's obviously the answer, right? I'm going to go Wilson Contreras. You know, and maybe it's a lot to put on a kid's plate, but he seems to be able to handle it, not only because of the pitching staff and the transition going through to a degree with that, and he's got to call the games, and he looks like he's going to get Yu Darvish starts, too, on top of it. When his bat went down, his bat was out of lineup, he carried the team for 2 or 3 weeks last year when they most desperately needed to be have someone do it. So, look, I get the war. I mean, I get Chris Bryant. 26 whatever plus, and that's what they point to. Moncada, I get that too, but you also got Kopech in that trade, right? So I'll say in the short term, I'll say Tim Anderson. This year, I think I need to see what Tim Anderson's all about. He's got his life together. You know, he's over the shooting of his best friend and a guy who's like a brother to him. But I want to see what they see in Tim Anderson. And Moncada, within the next 2 or 3 years, certainly, he has to be one of the guys for you to be moving forward. But I'll go with Tim Anderson for 2018.
You know, it's Chris Bryant by a mile. I mean, it's not even close. And I think that it's amazing to me that Cub fans underestimate how good this guy is. He is, you know, he's their best player in baseball. He is their guy that was the minor league player of the year. They went through rookie of the year, went through MVP. That's the guy that is indispensable. As long as you got him, you got a great frontline Major League Baseball talent that is a generational player. That, you know, that guy, you look at his pedigree, he's got Hall of Fame written all over him. That's the track he's on, and just let him go and let him get there. He's the indispensable player without a question. I think Moncada, I think they got it right. I think Moncada has to be really good. He was the number one prospect in baseball. They've brought him up. They've got him there, and this is about the rebuild. You know, as far as Anderson is concerned, it'd be great if he were to hit. And you know, it's really upsetting, the idea of Fernando Tatis Jr. you know, being there, and you could have moved a guy like that in. But you know, I don't want to say it's easier to find a shortstop, but Yomer can play that position. They've had other guys play it. I don't know that Tim Anderson has done enough to create, and I don't think the money is that overwhelming. It's just they kind of went to him early and bought out his his all the years of
arbitration.
So I think that Moncada definitely, you know, when you start talking about the rebuild, that that was the move, trading Chris Sale. That was when you said, okay, we surrender. We got a great pitcher, but can't do anything about it. Chris Sale's going to win Cy Young's. He's not going to do it here because we can't figure out how to build a team around him. And you brought in Moncada and Kopech, and God bless Kopech. I hope that works out, and it looks good. But, you know, bird in hand time, right? You want to see this guy prove to you why he was the number one player in number one prospect in baseball, and you want him to be not just a you want him to be an all-star level player, and you want it to happen. You know, you want to see him heading in that direction this year.
Brian, interesting call on Wilson Contreras, because after his first full season, even though he dealt with some injuries last year, he's already in that elite class, and that is something most teams don't have. That elite catcher with Posey Molina, Salvi Perez, he's already up there. So what's the ceiling on this guy? But my first reaction, well, it's Brian DeRizzo. That's what it has to be.
See, the Rizzo thing is interesting because, you know, respect me. He needs to yell that to all of us, I guess, because he's Anthony Rizzo, and we, you know, he's somewhere third or fourth on the list, right?
And he's going to give you 30 homers, yeah, exactly. 100 RBIs every single year.
And he's going to, and he plays almost 162. I mean, how many times is he on the lineup?
And he
right?
plays, you know, it's first base, but he plays good defense too.
Oh yeah,
I mean, it's not like
so, but it's just amazing, you know, how, you know, Cub fans,
but
I'm guilty
but
of it
Chris
too.
Chris Bryant's unbelievable, well, and Wilson Contreras right. could be an MVP.
Yeah,
I mean, I agree with that. I you know, but who plays third base if Bryant leaves? You don't get
Dustin's guy, Tommy Lestella.
The drop off is extreme.
Mr. Bounce,
Baez,
yeah, Baez could go there. Mr. Bouncy Zobrist House, Mr. Bouncy House,
or there's a guy who's batting lead off, knocking
Flyer?
The crap out of a ball. He could go play second base.
Okay. Are you talking
Grandpa
about
Zoe.
Happy?
Happy.
I thought you were talking about the right fielder.
But no, I said he was hitting the crap out of the ball. Not hitting like crap.
Oh, I
hitting
the crap. I misunderstood.
Hitting like crap. Just one little word.
Well,
yeah, right?
Can change
one
the meaning.
Word. Yep.
What'd you say, Joe?
No, MLB.com actually got this right. Chris Bryant's the guy, 3 years younger than Rizzo, so I'm going with KB. Like Rizzo and Contreras, but I don't think they're MVP caliber. They're not quite on Bryant's level. And we're going to find out what Bryant's contract will be close after Harper signs next season. On the south side, Yoan Moncada. Yeah, pretty clear cut here. They were right on with both. He was just the number one prospect in all of baseball. Looking forward to what he can do. As Molly mentioned, he was in the Sale trade, the main piece in that trade. So they got it right.
I love this texter, Adam Engel. That's it. Just end of discussion.
Outside of Mike Trout and Bryce Harper, I can't think of anybody I'd rather have on my team than Chris Bryant. So I think that's a pretty obvious choice. And there are a lot of good options. You know, I wouldn't bat an eye if you went with Contreras or Rizzo or anybody like that. That's just the situation the Cubs are in right now. They got so much talent. But I think Bryant is head and shoulders above everybody. As far as the White Sox, you know, I think the most indispensable player for them over the next decade is probably not on the major league roster yet. But if you're looking at these guys that are primed to start the season in Chicago, it has to be Moncada. He's got the biggest name value. He's got the most potential. And currently, I would probably say he's the face of the franchise until further notice. So I would have to agree with the MLB.com perception here.
I don't know how you can argue against it, and we're only on number four or five at five. So I'm just going to say yes, MLB got it right here.
Will you be cheering for Tiger Woods to win the Masters in early April, and would you bet on him?
I won't
I could
be
go
cheering.
First if you'd like.
I won't be cheering for him. I do think were he to win the Masters, it would be great for golf. It would be huge. You know, golf misses Tiger.
Oh, yeah.
As a sport and the audience and all the rest of it. And he's taken on, you know, what is the, you know, the character of Satan is the most interesting person in Paradise Lost, you know. Tiger Woods is the most interesting man in golf.
Yeah.
I mean, it's an unbelievable story. Everything that's happened in his life and to rehash it and to think it through is just kind of unbelievable. Having said that, I would not bet on him either. I mean, I won't be cheering for him. I think it'd be great. It'd be great all the way around. It'd be great for us. It'd be great for golf. It'd be great to talk about it. It'd be great to watch it. But cheering for him, nah, I'm not there. But I think that betting on him is forbidden now because I didn't get on him when he was, you know, whatever. I should have gotten on him before that last tournament. The minute he had like a good a day or two, I should have rushed in at whatever it was, that now he's the third favorite. I blew it, right?
Is he, what, 10-1 to win the Masters?
10-1.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. And what was he? Because it dropped significantly.
Well,
right?
But I always viewed it. There wasn't really value. What he should have been. Tiger's never going to be that. The number he should be.
Right.
Well, here you know, look. The Valspar down San Antonio did unbelievable ratings on TV on Saturday. Not only Sunday, but on Saturday, because Tiger made the cut, but was in the hunt. The young guns are. Tell me what happened to Rory McIlroy. Something happened along the way to his Hall of Fame career.
Did he get married? Was love? Did love ruin another golfer?
He almost came close, right? But guys like Jordan Spieth missed the cut. He's missed more cuts in the couple years he's been on the tour than Tiger's missed in his entire career. So all the young guns are not exactly ascending at the same time, or even it's not linear for all of them or many of them. I'll root for him to not only be there for the full four rounds. I'll be watching if he is. You watch anyway, but I mean, golf is so much more interesting, as you said, Molly, when Tiger's on the prowl.
The sports world was talking about the Valspar Championship
for four days. Yeah.
The Valspar Championship. The last time I remember golf being covered as one of the main stories over a weekend, go back to last year's Masters, what happened with Sergio and Justin Rose, or you can go back to the Open early on that Sunday morning, what was going on, Jordan Spieth, when he was fighting off Matt Kuchar and he's shooting around the TV trucks. Justin Thomas was saying, this is a major winner, 24 years old, one of the best golfers in the world. It's like, I've never heard noise like that.
Yeah.
The roar for Tiger. What's that? And how are some of these golfers going to deal with this? They've never dealt with anything like this before. Yes, I will be cheering for Tiger, and I will never, ever make a dollar on Tiger Woods if he does win, because I'm never betting him.
Right.
This segment is brought to you by Sport Clips. Check in online at sportclips.com/check-in and claim your spot today. Brian, you said you'd be more interested if Tiger is playing well. I'm only interested if Tiger's playing well. I watched golf over the weekend for the first time, and I don't even know how long because of one reason, and it was Tiger Woods.
You didn't know they had a tournament in San Antonio.
No, and I love Valspar. It's great pain, I'm sure, but I just don't care unless Tiger has a shot on Sunday. So I'm not going to bet on him. Joe, I'm with you there. You need money for that. But I will be rooting for him because it's much more interesting. It's better for us. It's better for everybody.
It's better for sports, and I'm a sports guy when he's involved. I'm with Mully. I will not root for him. I will vote for him to make the cut. I will vote for him to be in the mix on Sunday, and then I will root for him to have his knees knock. Okay. And here's the other thing. I want to know if he's going to wear. Here's why he didn't win the other day. You know why didn't win?
Here we go.
Okay? Didn't have time.
I've heard this. You're not going to believe this, yeah. Joey. You listening?
Okay. And others have heard it if you've been paying attention to the show. Okay. It's called a collared shirt, okay? In golf, you wear a collar, like I wear a collared shirt to work almost every single day. You wear a collared shirt to your place of business, especially in sport. That's a sport where you wear long pants and you wear a collared shirt when you're a professional, okay? This mock three-button thing that Nike's trying to put out, I wouldn't walk my dog in it. Okay, and I don't wear Henleys to play golf at a course
that's
like
your
that.
Your dog wears mock turtlenecks?
That's Henley.
And there's logos.
Yeah.
Well, double
there's big, there's
big
logos. Yeah.
Now listen, if Nike wants to pay me to wear the shirt, I'd happily be the billboard.
What if they gave it to you
for
free?
Still wouldn't wear it.
Mike Bray couldn't play golf with you.
Don't need clothes that desperately.
What if I bought you a Nike mock turtleneck?
Wouldn't wear it.
Camouflage.
Not even for a
camouflage.
No.
Just you walking your dog in it.
That could be a bet. We could make a bet. And if I lost the bet, then I'd wear it. I mean, that three-button-up, no-collared shirt, that's karma.
Dustin,
the karma golf karma bit him in his rear end.
Are you a Phil guy?
Does your dog still wear the Chris Bryant jersey when you're out walking?
He does wear a little gray T-shirt, yes. Five-pound dog.
Does the business on the Wrigley sod?
No, I take him out in front to do the business on
the neighbor's leaves
and he doesn't bother to pick
up. Your dog is peeved. He's lost his nest. 312-644-6767. What do you think? What's your reaction to the Bears signing Allen Robinson? And with the addition of Robinson, should the pace be done adding free agent receivers or keep going? Don't stop now, boys. Should they draft one? And what's the bigger story for the Sox? Nicky Delmonico not separating his shoulder, or Dylan Cease having another sharp outing? He went 95-98 most of the time he was in three innings. MLB.com is Chris Bryant and Yoan Moncada on the list as the team's most indispensable players. You agree with that? Who's your most indispensable Cub or White Sox? And will you be cheering for Tiger to win the Masters in April? Would you even bet on them? You want to get a future bet down? Why don't you just call in? 312-644-6767. Wow. It's Mully and Hanley on the Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.